Bibles, if you will, please. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate that. Take our Bibles. And I want us to go to those passages we saw last week. I kind of left you down on a low note when we finished last week. All that was true, but the truth is not done. Truth is not done. So, excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And put your finger also in Matthew 15, 17. Matthew 15, 17. Quickly want to remind you of a couple things, and then we're going to spend a little bit of time getting the answer to what we've been talking about all along. Fix my clock here. You're going to want me to fix my clock, I'm sure. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, and Matthew chapter 15, we'll start right at verse 17. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse number 1. Forgot I had to find that for you. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Why? "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, rather than lovers of God. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent," that simply means without self-control, "fierce." It's amazing how many folks are just plain fierce these days. Just fierce. "Fierce, despisers of those that are good." Why have you heard that? "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness," trying to sound all spiritual. I'm going to probably make somebody mad, but listen, another candle vigil is not going to fix our world. I understand you, the heart and the emotions and the feel, and I understand that. And we do need to support one another. I understand that. But bringing awareness to the problem has not fixed the problem. We all know the problem. The problem is, do we know the problem fixer? That's the difference. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof," verse 5. See, so we're going to try to be godly, but we're denying the power. That's the power that we need, we're looking for. That's the one that we have to have to fix the issue. That's the one that changes lives because it changes hearts. It's the power. If we deny the power, we have nothing. We can't fix a thing. It's not in our power, not by our might or by our strength, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's the difference, the power of God. Verse 5 again, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." He says, we got to stop doing it that way. If we keep doing what we've been doing, we're going to keep getting what we've been getting, and worse, because it goes in the wrong direction. If we're going to try to get something different, we're going to have to do something different. And not just anything that's different. Not just randomly try this and try that. The answer is already written in black and white. The problem is we as a people, we as individuals often aren't willing to accept the answer. Flip over to Matthew 15 if you were there. And I'm going to just read it, verse 17. It's where we started last week. Matthew 15, 17. It says, and just these are the words of Jesus speaking. And he's speaking to folks who should know. They've heard the word of God. But they're still not buying it. And see, that's the thing that we have a problem. By the way, where'd you set that hot thing? I still smell it. Is it all set? It's in a sink. Very good. Because I still smell it up here. I don't think it's me. I'm still smelling it. It smells like my grandmother's house. Christmas time, my grandmother's house, she cooked on a wood stove, and you walk in there, and the smoke would be heavy, and she'd had that thing fire, and it was going, you know, and she, I mean, a regular old, one of those old country wood stoves you see in the picture, that's how she, till the day she died, and you go in there, it smells like Christmas. Anyway, Matthew says this, it's the words of Jesus, "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in the mouth goeth into the belly and cast out in the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. That's the sin. For out of the heart proceed, watch, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, thefts. Why is it every time either somebody wins or somebody loses or somebody's not happy, we have to loot the whole town? Why is that? Out of the heart. Why is it? Because the heart of man is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. We don't think that's the case because really, for generations, there's been the teaching, at least the fear of God. Not necessarily they were all saved. The fear of God holding back. There was a fear of God in the heart of each one around America, most all of them, that they just didn't do certain things because it's just not right. Because they had been taught, been part of who they are. But if you leave a man to himself or a woman to herself, you know what I'm talking about. He says we have evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Let's pray. And today we're going to talk about this, the answer for a violent society. The answer. I left you down on the bottom last week, and I didn't want to do that, but that's kind of where we ran out of time. So we're talking about the answer. Father, thank you again for speaking to our hearts. Lord, I want to see something happen to our nation. Lord, I know we're just regular folk. We think, well, how in the world? We have no control over what's going on, but you do. And Lord, we will get ourselves right with you. It's amazing what you can do. You start with 120 people in Pentecost up there in the upper room, and 3,000 were saved that first day. I don't know, Lord, what you can do. Because you can do the impossible. So, Lord, if we can't change anything in the rest of our nation, we can change our own families, we can change our church, we can change our little town, we can change our county, because you can change it. So, Lord, we give this time to you. Pray that you help me be a blessing. Lord, may we at least, at the very least, understand the issue and understand the remedy. So we put it in your hands, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. The church has been so busy, I think, overall, playing games, trying to keep the kids entertained so they won't get into trouble, and trying to look like a museum, that we have not transferred truth to the last few generations. Now, I know that's not every church, it's not every family, you understand that, but in general, we have spent so much time trying to just keep the kids in church. That does not instill the fear of God, just keeping them in church. Now, you got to keep them in church so you can hear them, give them the Word of God. But the fact is, sometimes we're just so glad we had them. Well, the kids were in church. The kids were in church. Yeah, but what did they learn? Did they get truth? I mentioned last week that there were more guns per capita in the early 1900s, late 1800s, than there are now. But there was just less things you would call mass murders as we have now. The colonization of the nations, when they colonized the nation, they sent clergy to the colonies in order to curb the passions of men so they would not kill each other. They saw that if a fear of God is there, it makes a difference in their life. Now, we need more than fear of God just to go to heaven. I know that. And our goal is not just to make our life easier. Our goal is to win the world for Christ, because that's the true answer. That's going to make the eternal difference. On the other hand, while we're winning folks to Christ, we can also be giving others the fear of God, helping them understand the Word of God. It changes their heart. Listen, we tend to think of being religious and having a fear of God as a way the church of bygone days. Well, the fact is it was, but we shouldn't have left it there. We should have brought it along with us. Let me remind you that, listen, the fear of God is out of fashion because we took it out. In June 25th, 1962. We took it out of our schools. Now, the fact is, again, it's not our school's business to do all this. It's our business. It's the parents' business. It's the church to support that. The school's job is to teach them academics, but they should also not be teaching against what we're talking about. Now, a couple little quotes I had from last time I want you to see. This is almost prophetic. John Adams said, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion." Have we seen that happen? There's not enough manpower. Listen, how much manpower would we have needed to have stopped that the shooting in Florida or Las Vegas or wherever it might have been? How much manpower would it have to take to stop that? I'll tell you how much it would take. It took somebody to have spoken to that man's heart and maybe a change and give him some hope. And maybe this would never happen. I'll tell you how much manpower. It could have taken one man with the power of the Holy Spirit. They said, we can't stop them all, but we can stop a bunch of them. You can make a difference. But John Adams says, we don't have enough military to take care of all this. No, Webster said this, all the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. He said, that's how we're going to get there. And we've come. Robert Winthrop says, men in a world must, in a word, must necessarily, this is so good, necessarily be controlled by either a power within them or by a power without them. Either by the word of God or by the strong arm of man. Either by the Bible or by the bayonet. Because the passions of man must be controlled some way. Either he allows the word, the Lord control him, or the man's going to have to, or it's going to kill us all. George Washington said, religion and morality are the essential pillars of our civil society. Benjamin Franklin said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. And as nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. Do you realize there's a cycle that society goes through? Society is humble before God and God blesses. They get blessed and they get full of themselves and forget God. And they go into sin, then they despise God, look down on God, until everybody's doing that which is right in their own eyes, and there becomes anarchy. The only answer to anarchy is dictatorship. Somebody has to put the clamp on everything, or otherwise create a military state, or otherwise we're all going to kill each other. And so finally we realize it's so bad, we get down to the bottom of the pyramid, think it's so bad, we come to God in humility and say, God, please, if my people, which are called by my name, shall seek my face, turn from their wicked way, I will hear them from heaven, I will heal their land. So we come back to him humbly. And we're just grateful to be alive. And we thank the Lord and he blesses. And as we bless, we forget about him because we don't have any needs. And we go out and we turn and do our own thing. And we chase him out because he's just getting in the way. And we come back around. It's a cycle. Somebody has to stop that cycle. At least we can stop that cycle in our area if we want to. You can stop the cycle in our family, in your life, if you want to, if you're willing to. Jefferson said, he says, can the liberties of our nation be thought secure when we've removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. Give me a couple points real quick from last week. Man is born a sinner. Man is born a sinner. Sin comes from the heart of man. God didn't create sin. He did create the man that had a free choice. Sometimes it's kind of hard to kind of fry your circuits trying to think about that. But God gave us a free choice. We can either choose him or not choose him. If he didn't give us a choice to choose him or to not choose him, then we don't have a decision to choose him. And by the way, we do that every day. We make a decision. We get to decide, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, or am I going to do what I want to do? Usually what I want to do is whatever's easy, convenient, and serves me. Then there's what God, which is probably what's right. And a lot of times they're not the same thing until we get to thinking like God. After a while, we start getting the word of God. We start thinking like God. We add to our faith virtue, and a virtue, knowledge, and knowledge, temperance, patience, and patience, godliness. We start, by the time we've done this long with time and we've stayed at it, we start thinking like God. And before long, we realize that what's best for us is what God said. And then that's when you actually can get happy. I've got the real answer. Otherwise, I'm just kind of drawing straws, shooting for stars here, trying to see what's going to be the right thing. Well, this doesn't work. Let's try this. Well, that didn't work. Let's try this. But God's got the answers right here. And the problem is we've got to realize that we're born a sinner. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness. And why do we think we can trust man without the influence of God? We cannot, because the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Next verse says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. A sinner left to himself will sin. We don't become sinners when we start committing sin. We commit sin because we're sinners in the heart. We're selfish. Your little child didn't, your little baby didn't become a sinner when you taught them how to lie and how to cry when they didn't get their way and all that. You didn't teach them that. In fact, you try to teach them not to do that at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, actually about 1 o'clock and then about 3 o'clock and then about 5 o'clock and then about 7. You don't have to teach them that. It's natural. Watch this. Sinners that do not fear God, ready? Do not obey God. I hate to say it, but how many things, just growing up in school, how many things would you not have done except you were going to get in trouble if you didn't? All right, let's not get into testimony time. We'll be here all day. Think of the things you just wouldn't have done if you didn't have to do it. You have to do it or you're going to get in trouble. So you do it. Because you have a certain sense of fear, you realize the authority of the one over them, and you realize that authority has the right, the authority, to give us consequences. The fact is, that authority we're talking about is God Almighty, Jehovah, the self-existing one, but the fact is, He wants to be your Abba Father. We do the same thing with our parents. We didn't do it because we did it because, well, we had to. It'd be a whole lot nicer if we just did it because we love them and do it because we love them. You love our parents, we're going to obey them. You know, that's what it's supposed to be. We should love our Abba Father and do what He wants us to do because we love Him. But key verse, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, Psalm 36:1. The transgression of the wicked say within my heart that there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's why they do what they do. That's why we do sometimes the things that we do. You know what? There's things that we do. We don't go out shooting folks up, but we think, well, this isn't a biggie. So God's not going to get real upset with me. So we'll just kind of conveniently forget to do what He wanted us to do, and we're going to do what we want to do anyway. Can I get a testimony? Can I get a witness? Huh? That's exactly what we do. We say, well, this is not a big thing. Now, we don't do the big ones because we fear God. But we think, well, I'm not sure He's going to get real mad at me. We did the same thing with our parents, didn't we? The same thing with you. Well, this is not a big one. They won't get real upset. Let me give you some new points here. This is where kind of where I'm going to overlap where we were last week. Number one, I finished up with this. And I know that we're talking about some things going on here, and that's why I've kind of tailored it this way, but you can apply this in so many places in your life. It was not the guns that need to be controlled. It is the hearts of the men that need to choose to be in subjection to God. You know, the next thing they're going to use is a machete. Places that, you hear about that he did over there in Europe there. Some guy got on a bus and just started slicing people up. Why? He couldn't get a gun. You know what? That's almost worse than the gun. Slicing people in pieces. Well, how could anybody do that? He must be mentally wrong. It must be something going on. Well, it may be. But most likely, it's his sin has taken over. And God has given him over to reprobate mind. I'm going to get to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. Are we so foolish that we think that if we remove firearms from society, that murder will cease? First of all, we are not going to be able to totally eradicate the firearms from society. And if we try, the new ones that are going to have firearms are going to be the wicked criminal and the law enforcement. Secondly, man has been committing murder, even mass murder, since the beginning of time, long before there were such things as firearms. And so firearms are not going to remove murder. It simply removes a way of some people trying to protect their family. The greatest mass murders have been places where guns are prohibited. Now, I don't know whether it's true or not, but I heard that the guy who went into that theater passed two theaters and went to this one because it had no guns allowed on the sign. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it would make sense. The problem is not guns, but it's the wickedness in the human heart. Take your Bible and turn to Romans 1, if you will, please. Take your Bible and turn to Romans 1. The wickedness of the human heart is he refuses to fear God. That's the wickedness, to refuse to fear God. And this applies to all of us. Unless sin is dealt with, it will get the best of every single one of us. I can handle it. Famous last words. Get a bunch of guys out in the woods and have one of them say, "Watch this. We're in trouble." Famous last words. "I can do this. Watch this." Romans 1:16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein," in the gospel, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, from person to person. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." In other words, there's some people who think that truth is bad. Well, that can't be right. You're mean. You're nasty. Again, I don't want to be mean, but folks, if we don't shoot straight, we're going to mess. We're going to go further and further down the hole. There's a local church within a mile of this place that has on their sign, "We are a welcoming and affirming congregation," behind a rainbow background. Now, we know what that means. Now, listen, anybody's welcome to come into this door. We are a welcoming congregation. And some folks know that. It may not have been homosexuality, but other issues. People know that. Listen, we can't help you. I mean, if you're not here, if you can't hear the word of God, what are we going to do? God, listen, God said, well, what did Jesus say? "Neither do I condemn thee, go and..." See, we can be welcoming, but I'm not going to affirm sin. Not their sin, not my sin. Not your sin, not any sin. Even when sometimes I fall into sin myself, not that kind of sin, but, you know, I don't always do everything. Sometimes I get angry, sometimes I get a little selfish, and sometimes like that I try not to get anywhere where it gets away from me. But what do? You confess it as soon as it starts to rise this little ugly head. You confess and get rid of it. But the problem is we're saying we're going to affirm this. Now, I'm sorry. Have you not read your Bible? We err not knowing the Scriptures. Now, God's willing to save anyone. Such were some of you. But you are washed. So they're too far gone. They're not too far gone. Because God is a whole lot greater than what that sin is inside of them. Now look what it says here in Romans 1:16. He says that it's the power of God. Verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Why? "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." Manifest in where? In the heavens. The heavens declare His glory. Go back to Psalm 19. The heavens declare His glory. And you know what? We are such idiots that we'll let somebody talk us out of creation. In the heavens. Because look, it manifests who God is. Look at verse 20. "For the invisible things of Him," the powerful things, the Spirit of God, the might and the power that we can't see, "from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Something bigger than us had to make that thing out there. being understood by the things that are made, we can see, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Evolution is a cop-out for ignorant people who refuse to fear God. Let me say that again. Evolution is a cop-out for ignorant people who refuse to fear God. I was talking to some of our, I'm making a nice visit, had a great visit with some folks, and I was talking about this. When I was a kid, I remember thinking this, we opened up the evolution book, the science book, had evolution there. Now, I'm a boy I'm not a hunter and fisher and all that kind of stuff, but I grew up in the country, all right? I'm a boy from the country, and I've seen, you know, my share of roadkill, all right? You know why the possum crossed the road? Show he had guts. Now, listen. We all have seen, I lived out in the country just like we do here. Now, I remember seeing in my book this animal who had died, this drawing of an animal who had died, and then it showed this layer of dirt that came over him, and then another layer of dirt, and another layer of dirt. Now, each of those layers were about 1 million years or so, okay? And this layer of dirt, and this kept going until finally the pressure was, so they told me, the pressure was so great that it fossilized this animal. Now, I don't know where they go, but where I came from, you have roadkill today, and every critter and animal in the place is having lunch this evening. The buzzards come along, and they take what they can get. Then you got all the little worms and the critters and the maggots, and they get what all they can get. And then the dogs that come along and take the bones. It just kind of disappears. I don't know what they got their dirt going over. Now listen, I'm smarter than that. I might be a hayseed, but I'm smarter than that. It doesn't work that way. Somehow they take these pictures and they showed these animals who kept reaching up to eat the leaves of the tree, and finally they turned into giraffes. Now, I've seen some dogs who sit there at the kitchen counter, and, you know, they pop up and down, so I see what's for dinner, you know, but their neck never got any longer. And if it takes 1 million years for a dog, then what were they eating by the time till they got tall enough to eat the trees? You see, it just doesn't make, well, they ate the bushes, I know, but why were they working, if they could eat the bushes, why are they working so hard for the trees? You find what I'm saying? This is ridiculous. Now look at this verse here. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, how? From creation, they glorified him not as God. They did not give him credit for being God, neither were thankful. You see, that's just it. Remember we talked about how to have financial security? First thing to have financial security is realize everything belongs to God. It's his bills. Now, if I go out and I get my own bills, then I'm going to have to figure out how to pay those. If I'm doing what God wants me to do, they're his bills. He pays them. And he supplies all his needs according to his riches and glory. And so God takes care of all these things that we put in his hands. And he says, but they weren't thankful. You see, I heard a guy one time, he said, I don't want to thank God for doing it. Listen, I did this. I work hard. I put in 60 hours a week. I sweat. I work hard. I've got busted up knuckles from working. I work hard. I'm not giving him credit for it. I'm the one to provide. Listen, the Lord God is the one who has the power to give you wealth. He also has the one who has the valve on your breath. He's the one who breathed in you and you became a living soul, if you will. And he can soon take you out. That what? They did not fear God. He says, when they knew him as God, verse 21, neither were thankful, but became vain, empty, stupid in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What's that mean? I don't want to believe truth. I'm going to believe the lie. Well, the further you go in the lie, the darker it gets. Well, there are some things we just don't know. You think? There's some things none of us know. He knows. We have told our children for generations that they are no more than animals who have survived for these millions of years by the survival of the fittest. So anything that holds me back should be eliminated. Even if it's your own parents. You hear about that fellow again. Parents came to get him for spring break. And he shoots them. They're dead. Unthankful. Unholy. Disobedient to parents. It all, disobedient parents. Well, that's no big deal. Everybody does that. I know. And right there is where it starts. That's where we start to train them. That's where we start to make a difference. As soon as they learn the word, no. No. In fact, a little bit before, no. If other people, here's the mentality. If other people are stopping me from having what I want, all I need to do is eliminate them. But that's what we've taught them. We're simply animals who have evolved. But it sounds like to me, if that's the case, which isn't, we've evolved and now we're going the other direction. Don't tell me otherwise. The thing is, we're a living soul. We have morals. We are accountable to God. If a lion takes down a gazelle in the middle of the African desert and has lunch, that's just the way the world is. It's vicious, but that's the way the world is. But when a man hunts down another man and takes him down, that's murder. Because we're murdering a soul that was made in the image of God. There we go, verse, you know what? I'm not going to get done again. We're not going to get to a real good spot yet. Number 22, look at verse 20, 22. What were they doing? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Well, you know how we did this? Millions and millions and millions of years ago.
You go into a museum and push a little button.
Millions and millions and millions of years ago, the animal died, and over time, millions of years, the sand and the soils came across his body and weighted it down. And as it got larger and larger, it put pressure on him, became a fossil.
Now he was drug out by the dogs within a week, guaranteed. I'll tell you how it happened. The only way that animal could have stayed intact and become a fossil is that if it happened kind of like flash freezing, flash flood. You know, came over one time and it all was sealed in a moment. Listen, they have found things that have been underneath, like up in the frozen tundra, and they have found undigested food in these animals' bellies. Flesh is still flesh when it was flash frozen. This wasn't millions of years. Do you realize that what happened? I know you could think of great. When Noah's flood came by, you know what happened? It happened so fast. Things didn't have time to rot. And with the water and the vapor and all these things, it actually had the ice age. It all happens. That all makes sense. So it's just the way it works. And it doesn't work the other way. You can't make it. Listen, God has the answer. We refuse to glorify Him as God. Professing ourselves to be wise, we have become fools. This, you see, what does that have to do with the fear of God? We don't think He's right. You see, if He's not right in creation, we can throw everything else out too. And that's what our children are being taught. That's what some of us were taught. 1962, when they took it out, I was 2 years old. I never knew a classroom where they prayed and read the Bible. I'm thinking my first or second grade in Manchester, there was a little bit there. And we still had Christmas programs. When I was teaching in public school, I still had a Christmas program. I still did. Now, I mean, we didn't read the gospel story or anything, but I told you we were saying Christmas songs and some other things, and we made sure that there was all in there. And we sang Let It Snow and da 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 da. But then I got that paper from the York Jewish Council. No, I'm sorry, Baltimore Jewish Council sent a letter to the public schools in Carroll County, Maryland, saying that the school is no place that would ever have whatever would suggest or speak of a supreme being or a deity. And they specifically said, your program shouldn't be doing this. And when they sent that to the superintendent of school, and he sent it to all the principals in the county. And, of course, my principal gave it to me and put it in my box. This was Thanksgiving. We were coming back in a week and a half. We were going to do our Christmas program. And I read that thing. You know what? That was one of that kind of signed, sealed, and delivered it for me. So why didn't you fight? They're not paying me to fight. They're paying me to do their job. But the fact is, I couldn't do a lot of things I couldn't do and do what they want to do and also please him. That's when I had, I'm not against public school teachers by any means. But for me personally, I could not do what I was asked to do and not violate my faith because of the things I was going to have to do. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. Huh. We were made in the glory of God, in the image of God. Now we're trying to create God in the image of man. You think he's selfish, unloving, uncaring? Well, that's the kind of God he is. I don't want to worship him. Well, then you don't really fear him. I don't care whether you like him or not. If that's who he is and he's God, you better fear him. Listen, there's some times I'm going to go down in the city in the dark. I don't necessarily agree with what they are, but I'm going to fear them. I'm going to stay away from them. Even if I don't like who God is, if we believed who he is, I think we'd fear him. Verse 24, wherefore, look at this, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Watch this. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So now we can be like the barnyard animals because there is no morality. We are so far away that we're refusing to even allow God to assign us our gender. I mean, how arrogant is that? I made you a man. Can we be any more defiant than that? Now, I know some men are more manly than others and some women are more womanly than others. I understand that. But if you have a problem, I think I can help you. Verse 25, watch. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Whatever, if God said it must be wrong. And worshipped and served the creature. That's us. That became lovers of ourselves more than lovers of God. Served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Watch. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in the lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, I just wish I could erase God from the whole world. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. To do those things which are not convenient, not good for us. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, illicit sexual activity, wickedness, covetousness. We want everything that everybody else has. We got to have the first iPhone the first time it gets out. You know we're going to pay three times more for it than everybody else. Maliciousness, just being just plain mean. Watch. Full of envy. Look, murder. Debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. They don't even, listen, I mean, who doesn't like a baby? You know, Grandpa said, I think he looks just like me, bald, no teeth. We all love a baby. You want to melt a man, just put a baby in his arms. You know, but listen, we are come to a place where we leave them out in the car so we can gamble. We leave them out in the car so we can go into the bar. And if they're just going to be inconvenient, what do? Slice them up, suck them out, and throw them in the trash can. I know that sounds vulgar. That's because the it is vulgar. Verse 31. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, no mercy, who knowing the judgment of God, they know what it says God will do, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. I'm sorry. We were supposed to hit the high point before we got done today. There is hope. There is hope. You know what I'm trying to do with these messages? I'm trying to get us, in fact, I did a message the other Sunday night. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he says they were as sheep without a shepherd, scattered, not wandering around, not knowing what truth is, just trying to survive another day. And I see more families all the time who are just trying to survive another day. And you know what he did? He had compassion on them. Believe it or not, that murderer with a machine gun in his hand, God loves. Doesn't like what he's doing, but he loves that. He died for the sins he committed during those mass murders. And it's all because somebody probably never came to him with true compassion, in sincerity, and said, "You know, God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you'll believe on him, you'll never perish, but have everlasting life." Sometimes, I've used this term, sometimes God takes somebody, puts them flat on their back, so there's no place to look but up. So they come to him. I'll tell you what I think he might be doing. I think he might be putting the church flat on their back, throwing up their arms. I have no answer to what are we going to do? What are we going to, oh, yeah. You can do something. What do you want me to do? I'll be part of it. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. That's a tough message. I don't like to talk about it anymore, but Lord, we got to go through this. We're going to find the hope. Lord, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and stand to our feet. Piano and organ is going to play here as soon as they're ready. The Lord's spoken to your heart, the altar's open. Would you be part of the cure, part of the answer, or are we just going to point fingers?